That's going to lead us into our topic of discussion for today. And the topic of discussion has to do with near-death experiences. And I know that we all have a definite idea of what happens when we die, and I'm totally in agreement with where we all are on that. But I wanted to address this issue because I read a book just within the last month. It's called Evidence of the Afterlife, The Science of Near-Death Experiences by this doctor named Jeffrey Long. And what he's done is he's actually created a website. He did this a number of years ago where he is collecting stories from people who supposedly have what is called a near-death experience or NDE. So he calls it an NDE, which means near-death experience. So if I use that acronym, please understand it means near-death experience. And I was reading this just from the standpoint of trying to see what these folks are saying, because they, of course, are saying that there is a conscious existence immediately at death, that you are conscious, you are aware, and things are really happening when you supposedly, they believe, they were dead in a sense. And clinically, when we look at what's happened to them, you could say if they were left alone in that state, they would die, okay, if they were not resuscitated or brought back by the doctors and everything. But I want to just address this subject because as I finished reading this, he starts to kind of make some points at the end of his book that frightened me a little bit from the standpoint of if folks get into his idea of what's really happening, it could lead people towards a one-world type of religion is what I was getting from it. And, of course, that's my opinion. You may have a different opinion if you read the book. But, of course, we've all heard those stories or those ideas that are out there that, you know, in the end, there may be a form of government or a form of religion that is trying to bring everybody into it and get everybody involved in it. And it was funny that, what's he saying here at the end of his book about these near-death experiences? So I will get into what he is saying, but before I do that, I want to address what these experiences are, because when we look at these experiences, there are certain similarities among many of the people who supposedly experience this. And some of those things that they experience, when we look at what the Bible says, it says something a bit different than what these people are experiencing. So that's what I'm going to do in my approach today. I'm going to address what many who believe in the near-death experience as some form of afterlife are saying, what the similarities are between the people who have these experiences, and how some of those similarities fly in the face of biblical truth. And that'll be the approach we'll take. And then I'll get to what he was trying to say about this as he was summing things up that worried me a little bit about the influence it may have on our societies. Because as many of you know, on Oprah Winfrey, she was hitting on this particular theme a number of times over the years of her show, which is, you know, ended now, but Oprah was a major force in getting people to see things in a certain point of view, and she kind of has a New Age mentality when you look at some of the things she said on spirituality and things. So let's begin, though, by taking a look at a few scriptures in the Bible, which are probably well known by everybody here. But I just want to give this as a baseline for establishing what the Bible has to say about death. And you're probably familiar with all these scriptures. We're not going to address all the scriptures on death, but just, let's just look at a couple of them. For example, over in Psalm 146 and verse 4, let's read what that says there. And I believe I'm reading from the New King James today, so I grabbed New King James today. I grabbed that one on the way out the door.
Amen.
So let me read that to you. Psalm 146, 4. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. All right, speaking of death here, Psalm 6 and 5, let's take a look at that for a moment. Just trying to get a baseline for those of you that are just getting here. We're looking at this new near-death experience that seems to be out there in the public domain these days as a popular concept. Psalm 6 and verse 5, "For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks?" All right? So how about 1 Timothy 6, verses 15 and 16. 1 Timothy 6, verses 15 and 16. And we will read there the following: "Which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power." So who alone has immortality inherently, okay? We can gain that, okay? But we don't have it inherently when we look at Scripture. And, you know, I know we've all seen those Scriptures. I'm just giving a baseline here to establish what the Bible is saying on this subject. And finally, again, I'm not exhausting all the Scriptures that there are, but let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 53, 1 Corinthians 15 and 53, which says this: "For this corruptible," speaking of man and womankind, "for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, "then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." So here it sounds like, hey, death, that's not the greatest thing to get into here, okay? That death is something we want to be victorious over. But when you read this book, Evidence of the Afterlife, you get the impression as you go through it that, hey, death isn't that bad. Let's go to death because it's going to lead to this blissful existence that occurs right after your life right now. That is the experience of many of these people who report near-death experiences. And the Bible seems to say death is not our ally. We want to get away from that. We want to overcome that. And, of course, we do that through Jesus Christ. You guys know that story, but I just want to establish what the Bible is saying about death before we get into what these folks who experience NDEs or near-death experiences are saying. Now, what is a near-death experience? When I say that, what are we talking about? What we're talking about is the individual is unconscious. They are clinically dead. Now, what does that mean? Clinically dead means your heart has stopped beating and your breathing has stopped. All right. Now, people can be resuscitated. We know that, and come back from this when they have proper medical care, that they can overcome this and come back to life. So, is this complete death? Are they still there? Okay, that's something that we can debate and talk about. I'm not really going to approach it from that standpoint. I want to look today at what they're saying happens to them. Because what they're saying happens to them, some of these experiences that they have, fly in the face of what Scripture is saying. Okay? So I want to look at that, and then we will proceed as we get towards the end of what this may be leading to for the proponents of near-death experiences. So that's what a near-death experience is. It's a conscious awareness of some sort. They have some type of experience while they are clinically dead. But in this experience, it's not a fragmentary memory. It's not something that they're foggy about. It is as clear as crystal what they are experiencing. This is throughout all these individuals. Not, I wouldn't say all of them, but most of the ones who say that they experience this, they say, oh, I can recollect everything exactly, da-da-da-da-da-da. Now, the reason I say that is some folks who argue against these near-death experiences talk about something called hypoxia, which is a medical condition when you lose oxygen within your blood. You're kind of foggy and you have fragmentary memories, and that's something that critics of near-death experiences say may be occurring. But the near-death experiences argument is, wait a minute, I'm not foggy, it's not a partial memory, it's not a fragmentary memory, it is as clear as crystal, and I am keenly aware, more so than when I'm alive, is what they're saying. The experience is that profound for them. The experience is so profound for many of them that they actually alter their life. I'm going to tell you the story about one individual who was a bad boy, we'll call him, who was getting into fights, a troublemaker. He had a near-death experience, and he became a Christian minister because of the experience. So I'm talking about how deeply they're feeling whatever they're feeling here. Now, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to address what Long said were the 12 elements that were similar among individuals who have near-death experiences. Now, when I say what Long says, Long has done research into this. He's created a website. He has had people report to him who have had near-death experience. So he's using that data. There is other data out there amongst people who are researching this topic. I'm dealing a lot with a lot of his research from his website and that sort of thing when I talk about this research data. So there is other research data out there on near-death experiences, but in looking at some of that, you will find that it does definitely has a lot of similarities to what Long is saying about his research on this particular topic. So let's begin about 12 elements that most of these individuals have, and then I'm going to give this a brief going over, and then I'm going to focus in on a few of those elements in relation to what the Bible is saying on that particular issue. The first issue that we will look at a little more closely a little bit later is they're having an out-of-body experience. Now, what do we mean by out-of-body experience? Well, they describe it as they believe their spirit is leaving their body. And one particular example would be this. They are on an operating table. They are being operated on. Their heart is stopped. All of a sudden, they feel themselves come out of their body. They are looking down on the doctors working on their body on the operating table. Now, the interesting thing about that is that some of these people then say they leave the hospital room. They exit. They go into a tunnel of some sort, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel that is drawing them towards that particular light. And they sometimes go down the hall of the hospital. One individual mentioned seeing their husband or wife talking to a nurse or doctor down the hall. They were able to recollect what was said, and they reported back on what was said in that conversation, which startled the husband or wife as to how would you know what I said when you were back here on the operating table. So things like that can influence people, I'm sure. But these are some of the, this is what I mean by an out-of-body experience when they say about, and Long says about 75% of the NDEs he was studying mentioned something like this. Now, note this though, not all of them said that. Not all of them said they had an out-of-body experience. So please recognize that particular fact also. And one other point I'd like to make on this is, there has been some research that shows even when blood flow stops to the brain, it is still possible to have some electrical activity in the lower parts of the brain, at the brain stem. So keep that in mind also as we continue on with this particular information. A second point that he made is that these people have a heightened sense of awareness. About 74% of the people that he has researched had this heightened sense of awareness. And his numbers, he's dealing with about, as I recall, about 1,300 people or so that he is looking at on this particular issue. When we say a heightened sense of awareness, more consciousness and alertness than normal. So again, many of us at 2:30 during the afternoon, we're ready to fall asleep. He's saying the sense of awareness is so heightened that they can feel this is nothing they've ever felt before as far as their awareness of things. One lady mentioned that she left her body, went outside the hospital, and saw a shoe on a third-story window sill. This was later looked at. The researcher went to every third-story window sill in that hospital and did find a shoe on a third-story window sill that was not this patient's room, all right? So these types of interesting occurrences are being reported. Again, that's all the data. I don't have the name of the person, so I can't, you know, go talk to them. But this is what's being reported in Long's book here. A third thing that a lot of these NDEs experience is intense positive emotions. Positive emotions. About 76% of the people said this. Now, once again, he downplays the fact that some people have experienced negative emotions. Now, I have a video series at home that I looked at while I was reading this book, because in this video series, it's called Life After Death by a guy named Tom Harper. He calls himself a theologian, but some of the ideas he was, a Christian theologian, some of the ideas he was bringing out in his video series were a little liberal, but in his video series, he addresses NDEs, he addresses reincarnation, he addresses all these various things about what happens after death. And he was talking in his video series not only about the positive experiences that the NDEs have, but a number of NDEs do have negative experiences. And we'll talk a little bit about that later, but some of these individuals, especially those of a fundamentalist background, say they saw hell, okay? They saw people coming up out of flames, screaming and hollering, going back into the flames and coming back out of the flames and were not burning up. Who were these individuals who were seeing these types of things, though? They had a Christian fundamentalist background. So again, Long doesn't give that much information on those negative experiences from his book and how he's writing it, but he mentions that 76% of the ones he looks at are having a very positive emotional experience. And that's important when we look at what Long says later in his book about this whole phenomenon. Another area that many of these individuals experienced was passing into or through a tunnel. Okay, so some sort of tunnel. Now, one of the kids said he was in a noodle, okay? But again, if you think of a noodle kind of has a tunnel-like shape, just a different experience for that kid, which could make sense to an adult as being a tunnel type of a appearance or shape to whatever was experienced. And just speaking about kids for a moment, because I don't really get too much into this, one of Long's points that he makes in the book is, well, even children are experiencing this, and we know that children aren't going to lie to us. They aren't going to make this up. And I get what he's saying on that, but he's trying to say that the children's experiences who have said that they have had some experience like this are similar to the adults when you look at them in detail from the standpoint of what a child may say, how that may be a little different from what an adult may say. Another common similarity in these experiences, these 12 that Long addresses, a mystical bright light. Here we have about 64% of those that Long investigated are seeing this mystical bright light that the person is being drawn towards. All right, so they're being drawn towards this mystical bright light that is giving them some positive feelings of joy, of peace, of tranquility as they move closer to this bright light that kind of envelopes them at some point. Another point I'd like to address of the 12, encountering other beings. Now, about 57% mentioned this. Now, I say other beings because not all of these beings are, as you probably guessed, deceased family members. So many of these 57% say grandma was there. And grandma told me I couldn't stay, that I had to go back. But I wanted to stay with grandma because it felt so good to be there. Others are saying, you know, it was my dad. Others are saying it was a relative who I wasn't sure who it was, Then when they report their story back to family members, they have the family member tell them, oh, that must have been Uncle Ernie from, 1910, who you never met. And then they, in some of these cases, they showed a picture, and the person says that was it. Okay, so again, I'm just telling you what some of his research said about who these other beings were. Another interesting story was that one of these individuals, a relative was actually having a heart attack, an older relative was having a heart attack at the same time across the country that this person was having a heart attack. This person made it through that experience, but they said that they saw Uncle Joe on the quote-unquote other side before they came back. Later they found out Uncle Joe was dying at the same time you said Uncle Joe was on the other side. So again, the person who has that experience, I can see how that can be convincing for them. That's another interesting story that was brought up in some of the research here that he had done. Okay, but there's also some mystical beings of a unknown sort, okay? And some of these folks think that they're positive, that they're angels of some sort. Some saw the Virgin Mary, and some aren't sure what these mystical beings were that they were communicating with during their near-death experience. So let's just leave that alone for now. We'll get back to that later. Another of the 12 points, an alteration of time or space. Now, what did they mean by this? What they meant was that time seemed to stand still, that they lost a conception of how long time was going during this experience. And here's a point that one made. One person went under a raft and lost consciousness before they were finally brought up from under the raft in the water. They were told that they were only under the water between 5 and 10 minutes, where they felt that this was an hour or two long experience that they had been going through. Others who have this alteration of time or space say that everything is happening all at once. Like there's just so much overload of their senses that they say everything is happening all at once. That's the best I can relate that to you. Others, among the 12 similarities, they experience what we'll call a life review, where they are seeing pictures of their life played for them in a movie type of experience. So they're seeing these things occurring in their younger days, their middle age, as they move forward in life. They have this life review that they experience. Others mentioned encountering unworldly realms. Now, some would call this a heavenly experience. Some would call this being in a garden, being near a mountain with a stream and trees, and all pleasant, unworldly realms that are perfect to these people. Utopian type of place that they have come into during this experience. Another of the 12 similarities. Encountering, now this was interesting to me because I've heard about near-death experiences before, but I wasn't aware of this particular point. And we're going to mention a little bit more about this later. Encountering or learning special knowledge. Encountering or learning special knowledge. One said after the experience, and a number were quoted with similar words, I know how everything works now. I know how everything works now. And I'm going to mention some other quotes from some who experienced this, and tell me if anything is hitting you as I relay what they said. Another of the 12 points, before we get to the 11th point, encountering a boundary or barrier. So in other words, they left their body and they were going towards this light through this tunnel, and then there was a stop. They could not go any further, and they were either told, you can't go any further, you have to go back, or they were told to make a decision about going back, and they decided to go back. So there's some sort of boundary or barrier they come up against, which kind of leads to the end of the experience, and then they come back to their body. Finally, the 12th similarity between these individuals is a return to the body. They experience coming back to their body and re-entering it, becoming one with their body again. And for many, this is an involuntary experience. They didn't want to come back to their body. They wanted to stay wherever they were with those feelings of joy and tranquility and peace, which were feelings that they have never felt before, and that was a strength of them. Some did want to come back, though, I should mention. So what I'd like to do now is I want to focus in on about 1, 2, 3, 4 of those experiences in light of what the Bible says, okay, about this, okay? Because I think there are some scriptures that do relate to some of these experiences when we think of, okay, let's say you were, let's take their word for it. Again, I'm not agreeing with them, but let's pretend for a moment that what is happening is that they are dead and they are experiencing what happens at death, which I don't believe is happening, okay? I just want to make sure you understand that, okay? I don't believe that's what's happening, but what if it was, does that fly in the face of what Scripture says on some things relating to death? And I believe it does. So the first one I want to take a look at is the out-of-body experience. Now again, what they're saying is they feel that their spirit or their immortal soul, whatever they believe, is leaving their body and is going away from it. And the body is left there in a quote-unquote dead state. And then they come back to the body and then they're reanimated, they have life again. Now, as we read through the Bible, we can read scriptures like Ecclesiastes 9:5, which says, the dead know nothing. And I gave you some scriptures earlier. There are many scriptures that you're aware of that I'm not addressing on the idea that it seems like death is a sleep-like state. It's an unconscious state. You are not aware of the passage of time. That is what I'm getting from the Bible. I am not getting from the Bible that you are conscious, you are aware during death. I get from the Bible that doesn't happen until a resurrection. Okay? Then you wake up in a sense and you know what's happening. But until that resurrection, whether it's when Christ returns the second time or at the end of the 1,000 years mentioned in Revelation 20, you are not aware. You are not aware. These folks are saying you are aware. You are aware right at the moment of death is what they are saying. Another scripture, Romans 2:7. You have to seek immortality. It's not something we have inherently. These folks are saying, if you talk to them, they believe, Mr. Long believes, that they are alive. They are alive. That death is not an end. But we're saying death is an enemy. They are saying, hey, I'm not afraid of death anymore. Many of them have been quoted as saying, I no longer fear my death. I no longer fear my death. I know what's coming on the other side. It is this blissful, good feeling that I want to go to, where the Bible was saying, no, no, you got to go to Christ to get that blissful goodness. Okay? That's the only way you're going to have life anew. Death is death. It's a cessation of life is what I am getting from the Bible, which speaks very differently than what these people are saying that Bible is saying. Again, Daniel 12:2, you are asleep in the dust, and many other scriptures. But what is interesting is as I was reading this book, all of a sudden, a little old scripture in Genesis hit me between the eyes. In Genesis 3:4, right there at the beginning, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, get this folks, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now why did I read that other scripture there? What did I say earlier? One of those similarities with these people was, I know everything now. That kind of hit me too when I looked at this scripture, at what Satan was saying at the beginning here. You're going to know everything. You're going to know the good, the evil, what happened at the Tower of Babel also. What did God say about the people? Hey, they're getting too big for their britches here. It's interesting. I'm just putting it out there. So out-of-body experience. They say this is one of the similarities amongst these people who have a near-death experience. The Bible has an opposite viewpoint than they seem to have. Another issue that they have, these intense positive emotions. They downplayed the negative experience that some have. As I told you in Harper's video series on this subject, he devoted a whole hour to the experiences of hell that not only Christian fundamentalists have, but other cultures who have a hell, Islam, they will see some of that too, okay? They will see some of that. This goes across cultures also, depending upon what your religious background is, where you can have a negative experience. And those who do not have a specific religious background, some of them did have a negative experience, a fearful experience that they were having as far as emotions go when they were in this near-death state that we're talking about. Now, getting back to that fella who was a troublemaker, he actually got into a fight. A guy cut him with a bottle. He almost bled out. He was brought back, and during that experience, he saw people in what he considered to be hell screaming and hollering, burning up. And again, let's go to the Bible. Does the Bible say that that's what hell is? Of course, we see hell much differently than that. We believe in a fiery destruction of the wicked, but that's it. It's over. You are continually burning and burning forever and ever, where this individual did see that. But remember, his background was of a fundamentalist Christian, and that's what he saw in his, what he called, hell. He actually became a fundamentalist Christian minister. It did alter him. So he did change completely because of this experience, which, you know, helps me believe, hey, it probably was some real type of experience that he was having in his mind. They focused on the similarities, as I said, over different cultures. Again, everyone was not the same. But the implication that Long is making in his book was that death is okay. Many said, I wanted to stay. I wanted to stay with that feeling of warmth, joy, love, and peace. And what does the Bible say, though, about death? Notice it in 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible is diametrically opposed to their idea of what's happening at death. 1 Corinthians 15, pick it up in verse 16. 1 Corinthians 15 and 16. Notice what it's saying and think about what these people are saying. For if the dead do not rise, again, what's he talking about? He's talking about the resurrection here. He's not talking about when you die. He says, hey, if the dead don't rise, his whole idea is here is on a resurrection. Then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. They haven't gone on to another existence or consciousness. They have perished if Christ's resurrection doesn't matter. We got nothing, is what he's saying. If Christ isn't resurrected, we got nothing. We got nothing to hold our hat on. Very different from what these folks are saying. 1 Corinthians 15:26, just a few verses down, says the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. What's the Bible calling death? An enemy. What are most of these people saying about death? Bring it on. They're saying bring it on. And I'm not embellishing that. I mean, they changed their lives through these experiences. Many of them. Not all of them, but many of them. And finally, same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 51. What does it say? Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is talking about a resurrection. This isn't talking about the moment of death you're changed, you're incorruptible. This is at the resurrection. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Now get this phrase. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, or the grave, where is your victory? So in other words, what's the Bible saying about death? Death is a sting. We want to overcome death. When we overcome death through the resurrection, that is victory. That is what we're looking for. Not what comes right after the moment of death. That is not being talked about in the Bible as the positive time, the thing that we should be seeking. We look forward to the resurrection when we regain consciousness according to the Bible. So that's number two. Now, third one I wanted to look at for scriptures here, or connection to scripture, was encountering other beings. Now let's look at that one for a minute. We talked about these individuals who experience near-death experiences, and many of them say, my dead relatives were there telling me, you can't stay, telling me it's not your time, telling me to go back. But I knew it was Grandma Jean. I knew it was Uncle Ernie. There's no doubt in my mind that that's who it was. Now, here's the interesting thing. Most of the beings they encounter are dead relatives or friends who have died, okay? But here's the interesting point, which Long doesn't address too much. Some of the individuals they meet in this near-death experience are still alive. They're still alive on the earth. They haven't died yet. There's about 4 to 5%, according to Long, are individuals during the near-death experience who are still alive and have not died yet. So how does he reconcile that? Well, he doesn't. He doesn't really address that issue. He just says, well, there's only 4% of those. Okay, let me tell you about the 80% who were dead relatives. He's writing a lot about that in here. Okay, I just point that out, that at least he was honest enough to tell us that, yes, there was this other category here. I don't know what he doesn't really comment on it. So, again, interesting that there were live individuals that they were seeing during the near-death experience also. And again, I mentioned the fellow who had that really wild story about another relative across the country who was dying at the same time and actually did die, where this guy was brought back from this particular experience. Now, the other area that I wanted to mention was those beings that they are seeing who are considered what we will call mystical beings. Now, some of these people have said, well, to me it was God. Okay, they say that was God. You know, I was experiencing God is what they say. Others say, I don't know what it was, okay, but it was a mystical being is their definition of whatever it was. Some said angels, okay, what's their mindset for angels? Some saw the Virgin Mary. A couple experiences I heard were the Virgin Mary. But here's my point. Here's my point about this in its relation to Scripture. What does Scripture say about our dead relatives, about Mary? It says that they're dead, okay? That they're unconscious. I was reading the Scriptures to you earlier. That they are not conscious either. They are not aware. So if they are not aware, what's going on here? All right? What is going on here? What are they really experiencing? And again, you know the Scriptures, but we need to reiterate them because there are many people who believe in God, let's say, out in the world, but they don't believe in God from the standpoint of what does the Bible say about God? What does the Bible say about the afterlife? They just believe, yeah, there's a higher power, there's a God, there's something beyond me, greater than me. There's a lot of that out there, a lot of that belief, but they aren't conscious of what the Bible is specifically saying about these things, And we know there's a great deceiver in the world. I don't have to tell you about that, but let's just take two scriptures to keep in mind if we ever get into a conversation with someone about this. And if I had Oprah Winfrey in front of me, hey, I think she's a great speaker, a great, innovator as far as TV has gone and what she's done, but she is pushing a new age type of religiosity into the public arena. If you've watched her shows over the years and some of the subjects that she's gotten into. Now, she has some great subjects on her, no doubt about it, but I've seen and heard and read where she does delve into this kind of new age type, all religions leading to one place, etc., etc., in some of the shows that she has put out there. And she has put a lot of shows out on the near-death experience that are similar to what Mr. Long is doing as we get towards the end of his book. But again, let me just give you these scriptures because we're running a little short of time here. 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about the fact that Satan can blind us to the truth. Satan can blind us, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And then 2 Corinthians 11:14, even more so, he can appear as an angel of light. Now, I say that because what is the emotional experience these people are saying, at least most of them? It was the greatest feeling I've ever had in my life. I wanted to stay there. I wanted to be there and remain there. Okay? Enough said. I will leave that to you to decide what you wanted to think about it. Now, I want to get to the last point among these similarities, these 12 similarities that NDEs had, special knowledge or a greater awareness. And remember what we read over there in Genesis. Now, let me just read these quotes. This is just a few of the quotes these people had about this special knowledge. I'm quoting them directly now. I was being told I would know the secrets of the universe. Here's another one. I knew everything there was to know. All the mysteries of the world were being revealed. Here's a third one. I know how everything works because I looked into his eyes, and he didn't say who his was. He didn't say it was God. He just said it was this being, okay? I looked into his eyes for a moment, and all the secrets of the universe, all knowledge of all time, everything was there in his gaze into this being's eyes that he met in his near-death experience. Now again, go back to Genesis 3, and let's read verses 5 and 6 again. And I will not comment on it, but I will just let it percolate in your mind. Genesis 3, verses 5 and 6. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes... Remember what this last guy said. I looked into his eyes, he looked into my eyes. And again, I'm not going to comment on it, I'm just going to leave it there. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, etc., etc. So I will leave those similarities there and finally get to a little bit of a wrap-up here. Now, what do skeptics, critics, or believers and non-believers say about these near-death experiences? There are different viewpoints out there on these near-death experiences. As I mentioned earlier, hypoxia is one that some skeptics bring out. That the reduced oxygen in your blood and body tissues when you are near death will lead to confusion, memory loss, etc., etc., in those who experience this. But as I said before, most of these near-death experiences, what they are saying is, it was the clearest thing I've ever had in my life. There's no faulty memory or partial fragments of memory that I have here, they can tell you point by point by point what happened during that experience. Others say, and this again is theory here, some scientists are saying the brain may be able to pick up more information at a distance than we are aware of in some way. So in other words, the person's almost completely out. Remember I said earlier, there still can be some electrical activity within the brainstem, and who knows what that means, because how many people have we studied who've had this type of experience? You know, that's something hard to study is what I'm trying to say here. And again, our research into the brain, we're learning so much about it, but there's so much more that can be learned about it. I went to a conference in Orlando this past week on training and education. There was a fellow there who's written a couple books on brain research. He's a brain researcher. His last name's Rock. He's an Australian. And he's just saying that a lot of the ideas we've had in the past about how people learn and the way to train people, that some of his research now into the brain that has come out over the last few years is flying in the face of some of the ideas we've had in the past because of the new things they're learning about the brain right now. So I'm going to have to read. I got one of his books. I'm going to have to read it and hopefully do some sermon on that in the future, maybe. But the point I'm trying to make here is we just don't know enough about the brain to flat out say, well, it's definitely this or it's definitely that, or I know what this is or I know what this is not. When we look at this near-death experience, some scientists theorize that the brain has much more capacity to take in what is around it than we may be aware of. Another thing that I was not aware of, your right temporal lobe can access, and the guy who was talking about this said, access other realities, okay? Whatever that means, the right temporal lobe has a capacity to access other realities other than what we are aware of. Now, they didn't get into that. I don't know what the details of that are, but that would be another possibility here as to what may be happening during a near-death experience, that part of the brain that can access reality in a different way is being impacted by the near-death state that the individual is in. Those who believe in the near-death experience, the proponents of this are saying, this is the next life. I am in my next life right now. But again, what is that all about? When you look at Eastern religion, you don't die. You just go into a different state, a different experience, is what Hinduism and Buddhism tell us that the ultimate state is when we look at it. He did mention that there are some people who believe this is a deception from Satan, okay? And I kind of lean that way, all right? Not knowing everything about the brain, of course. Maybe there's something going on that I don't know about. But that's where I'm leaning right now when I think about this. And the fact that, hey, what does Satan deal with? What does Satan deal with when he deceives us? Our mind, right? Our mind, our knowledge, okay? Can something happen when you're in this near-death state that can be used? I know with drugs and things of that nature and alcohol, you know, people have seen and done some crazy things when their mind has been altered, and Satan can enter the mind of an individual. I'm not saying that that's for sure what's happening here, but I think there's some evidence that something along those lines could be occurring. And finally, the other thing that was interesting was, well, wait a minute. Some people are not experiencing anything. Some of these individuals who almost die on an operating room table have no recollection of anything. So what about all those folks? Okay, I just throw that out there as something else that needs to be part of the conversation for the proponents of this. Well, wait a minute. Not everyone experiences this when they are near death. So just something else to bring into the conversation of this. Now here's my concern. As I got towards the end of the book, he he's starting to sum things up, and he's looking at the positive things about this, that, you know, it's helping people see that, you know, this is not the end, that, you know, life is difficult and it's tough, but maybe there's this hope in what comes next. And he was pushing that a little bit. And then he said, let me give you a quote from one woman from Colombia, because she kind of sums it all up for me. When I look at all the experiences that these near-death those folks who had this experience, when I look at all of those experiences, I'd like to give you what this woman from Colombia said, because it kind of sums it all up for me. When I've looked at all these experiences, this is probably a good way of summing it all up. Now, here's what she said. Number one, she said, we live in a plural unity or oneness. Our reality is unity in plurality and plurality in unity. She also said this, I was everything and everything was me. And she also said this, there is no God outside ourselves. God is in everything, and everything is part of God. Now, when you look at those three statements, and you read Hinduism, you read Buddhism, I mean, it's right there with what Hindus and Buddhists believe about becoming one with God. You are a drop going into the ocean. The ocean is God, and the drop is you. This is right in there with what that is all about. So that's what scared me about where this guy may be pushing his beliefs, that the near-death experience is something that we all should go for, and it is what God is, etc., etc., etc. And that's what New Age religion is pushing people towards as we read their literature. So again, as we get into conversations with folks who may be looking at this idea, we need to let them know what the Bible really says about the death experience, what the resurrection is all about, and where our hope lies. It's not in death, it's in Jesus Christ.